meeting the women that I have on my podcast who are strong, intelligent women who've gone out and are doing the things that we talk about has literally changed my life.
Yes.
Changed my life.
Yeah.
And I will always be grateful for that. So really being intentional about who you surround yourself with, because if you surround yourself with people who whine and complain and I can't, I'm afraid, then you're going to whine and complain and you're afraid. But if you surround yourself with women who do dream big and who do accomplish those dreams and who are positive and moving through life with intentionally, then that's who you will become. Everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Women Over 50, A Life Redesigned. I am Shelley, and I'm your host for this podcast, and I'm so glad you've joined us today because this is the last in a series I've been doing with my good friend, Michelle Horton, of Always Chasing Better. We have done this series, Getting Your Shit Together, and like I said, this is the last episode, and this time we're going to talk about being intentional. We talk in this episode about how at the age of 50 or plus years, that we are ready for a shift and ready to become more intentional about our decisions and who we surround ourselves with and the habits that we are creating. So we're going to encourage you to take everything that you've learned in the past 50 years and decide who you want to be to create that life that you love. Speaking of creating a life that you love, we have a community off of Facebook. It's Women Over 50 Life Redesigned. I'll put the link down below, but it is off Facebook. So if you're wanting to have some really meaningful, intentional, empowering conversations with women who are taking that shift in their life and being very intentional and creating a life they love, then this, I promise you, is the group for you. Okay, friends, on to the episode with Michelle.
A lot of times we live in automatic pilot and we think things are happening to us instead of for us. And I don't think we realize the power of actually wanting something and thinking about it and dreaming about it and then actually making it happen. I think a lot of times we think things just happen to us. We could just go through life and this happened today and this happened today, when I think when you live more intentionally, it's like you plan it out a little bit and the universe delivers.
Yeah. You know, that's, we talk about that a lot, like with habits. So we think that, you know, everything, every decision that we think that the things we do in our day is a decision, when basically it may have started out as decision, like I'm going to brush my teeth in the morning, but then it becomes rote, it becomes a habit. So yeah, I agree. And we often do think that, you know, well, life is just happening, so I'm just going to go along with it. And I don't know that I could change any of it. One of the things we want to talk about today is being intentional with your dreams, like, you know, getting intentional and then also taking action on that, because who doesn't like to dream? You know, I love to sit on the balcony drinking coffee, dreaming about shit all day long. But if it's something you really want to do, you know, you have to put that into.
I just have this visual of you sitting on your deck, you know, on your patio there with your feet up on the railing and your cup of coffee.
With my inappropriate coffee mug.
And now inappropriate socks.
That's true.
That's why we bought them. We think you should start a whole trend.
They're in the laundry right now, or I would show them to people. But so I have a group of local women that I with. There's probably like five of us, and we're always sending inappropriate things, or like, you know, if something tragic is happening. I mean, it's just like, you know, this group that we text. So I sent them a photo of my socks, and of course they loved them and they wanted them. I said, oh no, they're mine. Okay.
All right. So let's talk about being intentional and having big dreams. I think, so here's what I noticed in myself. And I noticed a lot of women, particularly in our generation, we have been working so hard and some of us are ready for a rest, but some of us are just ready for a shift, a pivot.
Yes.
And I think we're so much smarter now, Shelly, that we can, and what is that word? Like, I just want to bring all that power together, all that knowledge, all that wisdom at this point in my life, and have some intentional and have some vision for myself. What is it that I really want? The first 50 years of my life, I just kind of winged it. I just kind of showed up at different points in my life and things happened. You know, I finished college and then I got married in my 20s, and in my 30s, I was really into my career and raising my children. In my 40s, I was transitioning in my career. And now I'm in my 50s and I'm like, I want to be smarter about where I put my energy and where I set my sights. And so you and I talk about this all the time, like really being mindful about who you're surrounding yourself with and how you can dream big. You like being 50 is awesome because now is the shift. Take everything you've learned in the first 50 years and decide who you want to be. I think that's amazing. I just think it's amazing.
Well, it is amazing because, you know, when you went through this whole litany of things that you have been doing since you hit 50, is that it's another thing that we just do by rote. You know, we're told, especially I always felt like with my family, like my first husband, my mom's like, you should marry that boy. He'll calm you down. I'm like, okay. And then it's like, people's like, well, you should have kids. And I'm like, okay. You know? And then I thought, well, I should go back to school. I'm like, okay. You know? So I just sort of did these things on rote because I thought that's what I should do. And then you hit 50 and a lot of these responsibilities fade away and it is time for yourself. And another thing, Michelle, I really want to impress upon women is that the majority of us are at a time where in history, in the world, where we're financially able to, we have the technology to, you know, we have the freedom to do a lot of these things. And I think if you are lucky enough to have that support and that freedom, that you are doing a real disservice to yourself and the generation coming behind you if you're not utilizing that to the best of your ability. I mean, I just really think that if I did not use my ability, my talents, my strengths, my financial freedom, my, you know,
yeah,
freedom of time and stuff, I mean,
yeah,
then I just need to give it that to someone else who's going to take it and run with it. That's my, yeah, that's my thought on it.
So I think also it's limitless. And I know people say that all the time. You can do anything you want. You really can. We've never been in a position, both in history. If you think about this, I hate it when women in our generation complain about technology and complain about the state of the world. It is an amazing time to be alive right now and to be a woman in your 50s, because we have the financial resources that we didn't have before, like you said, but the world is, women are working together like never before. Yep. There is, yep, someone to help you. This, yep, has been amazing to me. When I left my last career and decided to become an entrepreneur and just live the life that I wanted to live, I was amazed that I could reach out to women now and ask for help. That didn't used to be the case up until maybe the 90s to 2010, we couldn't ask for each other for help because we were competing against each other for space in the workforce.
Yeah.
For men, right? For the good men. I'm not even going to go there. Or good women. If, you know, like the smart ones, we did that.
Yep.
It's not intentional, by the way, but it turned out pretty good for me. Anyway, so I think women are now learning that there's so much abundance, both in terms of wealth and opportunity, that we can get there faster if we stick together. How do you think middle-class white men and upper-class white men got in the position of power? Because they helped each other. They stick together. It's called the bro club.
Yeah.
Well, now women, if we're catching on, like, oh, you mean if I join forces with someone that can help me and I can help them too? It is an amazing thing. There, within two clicks, we can find somebody who can help us with what we need. And yeah, I think that's amazing.
Well, and I talk about this ad nauseum, but with the podcast, you know, I've interviewed almost 100 women, and I cannot tell you, and I've, you know, I'm still like friends and collaborators with a lot of, you know, you being one of them.
Yes.
But being very intentional with who you ask help for, from, and who you surround yourself with, because I cannot, and I will take this to my deathbed, meeting the women that I have on my podcast who are strong, intelligent women who've gone out and are doing the things that we talk about has literally changed my life.
Yes.
Changed my life.
Yeah.
And I will always be grateful for that. So really being intentional about who you surround yourself with, because if you surround yourself with people who whine and complain and I can't, I'm afraid, then you're going to whine and complain and you're afraid. But if you surround yourself with women who do dream big and who do accomplish those dreams and who are positive and moving through life with intentionally, then that's who you will become.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I have found when, like, just the connection in your group, some of the people that I have become connected with, including you, have opened the doors for me for other people. Some of the books that have been written that you've interviewed guests, I'm just like, I love this book. And because I have access to them in the group, I'm now communicating with women who I admire so much and would have never had access to before. So, you know, when we talk about surrounding ourselves with the right people, with people, there's a chain of events. There's a ripple effect from that. You know, joining this group was one thing. Making a connection with you was another thing. But now having access to other women who are the women I want to be, or I want to be parts of them.
Right.
You know, they've got some skill or ability or knowledge that I want to be a part of. And never before have we had access to each other like that, which I think is just amazing. It is absolutely amazing.
So how do we become intentional? How do we do intentional things?
Well, I think the first thing is it's okay to say you want something. Mm-hmm. Women our age have the worst case of what Brené Brown calls foreboding joy.
Yeah.
We are so afraid of being disappointed that we won't dream big. We hold back because what if I don't do it? I'm going to be so disappointed. And that disappointment hurts badly. It stings and we don't want to sit with it. But what if it's the right thing to do for you? What if, and here's the other thing. We think we have to have it all figured out. So it's number one, it's okay to want something big, like really big. And it's okay to not know how to do it right now.
Yes.
We think we have to have both of those things. Like, I'm afraid I'm going to want something too big and I don't either deserve it, or B, I don't know how to get it. You don't have to know right now. You can just wanting something is enough right now.
Yeah.
Just allowing yourself to say, I want to publish a book. I want to start a podcast. I want to be on Oprah. Honestly, that's on my list, to be on Oprah. I want to meet Oprah.
I'm going to write her now. Dear Oprah.
I've had this, like, it's on, if I was near my bathroom right now, the bathroom in my bedroom has a poster on it of the 10 things that the 10 big, huge things I want in my life. And if I can hit one of them, I'm going to be happy. But Oprah's on there. And I never told anybody that until I told my partner. And she was the first person I ever told. And so now I say it all the time because I know it's big. I know it's crazy. But someday when I meet Oprah, I'm going to be like, I wanted it. I wanted it. And I don't know how to see Oprah. I have no freaking clue, but I'm going to want it. I'm going to still want it. And if I die not having it, I'm okay.
I think that's a great point. There's two things. So best advice I have received in the last 10 years is if someone asks you to do something like you want to do, but you don't know how to do it, say yes anyway, and then figure out how to do it.
Yes.
That's how I got fired by Doug Pitt, Brad Pitt's brother. One of my stories I tell about myself, like, you know, they wanted me to do some stuff for their RV, like they host RV websites. And I'm like, well, I don't know. But they liked the way that I write, that I was doing a blog at the time. They liked the way that I wrote my written word, my prose, whatever. And I didn't say, well, I don't know how to do that. I said, sure, this sounds like a fantastic opportunity. And then I intentionally got my ass in gear and figured out how to do. Now, that being said, you know, after a year later, I'm like, I don't like this. This is boring shit. I'm not going to do this anymore.
Yeah.
That was the best piece of advice I ever got. And the second thing is, and this is like in our planning doc, this is one of the things that document, one of the things we talked about is that, what is your dream? Your dream is to get on Oprah. And so you've allowed yourself to dream it. You've said it out loud to several people now, and you're not afraid. I mean, if it doesn't happen, which I think it will happen, but you know, if it doesn't happen, that's okay. You know, you put this dream out and you intentionally worked toward it.
Yeah. And I want to go back to the foreboding joy, because I think that's where a lot of us get stuck.
Yeah.
And, you know, and both of us have been there, right? You know that if somebody would have told you 10 years ago that you were going to have the podcast that you have and the success that you have, you would have never believed it, because you didn't even know how to go about doing that. And you might have been afraid that I'm not going to put myself out there.
Yeah.
What if people think I'm an idiot? What if I don't look good? This is one of the things that we get stuck on, right? Is that what will people think? What if I can't do it? What if I am not able to do it? What if I fail? Well, let me tell you, let's just get this out on the table, Shelly. We need to say this. You're gonna fail.
Yeah.
You're gonna fail. Honestly, I fail at something. Oh my God. In relation to my dreams every day.
Oh yeah.
Every day I fall on my face. Now, not huge, not like the world sees it, thank God,
you stumble.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we also think that that's a sign that we're doing something wrong. When we fail or make a mistake or don't hit the target, we automatically go to, that's a failure. It's not. It's a tweak. It's actually telling you you're in the wrong direction, but keep going. So just our, you know, being intentional, but also understanding that failure is part of the gig. And if you've got to get comfortable with it, and I use that word comfortable so loosely, because it never feels good. It never feels good. But you got to get used to the idea that if you want to dream big and you want to take, you know, you want something different than you've had in the first 50 years of your life, you're going to make mistakes, and it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's one of the biggest mistakes you've ever made in the last few years? The biggest mistake. And what'd you learn from it? I can't wait to hear the answer to this.
Well, I think the biggest mistake, and it's pretty broad, is that I gave up on a lot of things that I should have just kept going. I mean, I think I told you previously in the last episode before we started recording was that I've been cleaning up my office, and I've come a lot on a lot of things that I was like, damn, I was creative. And then I thought, well, I have to, you know, I have to go get a job and I have to do this and I have to do that. I stepped away from a lot of things that I wish that I hadn't. It's probably been about 5-6 years ago. I actually had, it wasn't a podcast, but it was a video series I did where I interviewed, I called it the Power Hour, where I interviewed these women for an hour. And I started that, and I don't remember, I think what happened was, like, you it wasn't like on Facebook, but it were, but it, there was a Zoom link and you could come or whatever link and watch. And people loved it. And for some reason, I gave up on that. I gave up on that, you know?
But you're full circle.
Exactly. And that's what I was going to say. But that was something that I loved doing. And I'm really good at interviewing. And so, and now I think, I try not to do this, Michelle, but I do. I think, what if 6 years ago, I had just kept that up, you know? But so I've been into this podcast for a little over 3 years. And my big dream is to be even more famous podcast than Brené Brown's. So there you go. Yeah, I'm going to beat that Brené Brown. I'm 164, number 164 right now. So I got a long way to go.
Yeah. Well, and she came into the industry a different way you did.
I know. Yeah.
You know, she didn't have to claw her way from the top like you are.
Yeah. But, you know, that I think, you know, it's just back to your original question. It was just I gave up on so many things I loved doing because I thought I wasn't moving fast enough or I should not allow myself to be so indulgent in thinking that I could do these things. And that you know, what you talked about, Brené Brown talks about the foreboding joy. And so now I made the decision that, and this goes against all marketing and everything you're going to hear, but I am doing the podcast because I love doing the podcast. And if you listen to it and you get something out of it, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
But I'm doing it because I love to do it. And when I did that did that little mindset shift, this is for me. I love doing this.
Yes.
And when you're doing something you truly love and that passion shows through, people are going to start latching onto that. My podcast coach, Heather Parody, back when I first started podcast, she helped us. I was in like a little group or something and she helped us set one up. And anyway, I was lamenting because I got like 20 downloads on my first podcast. And she's like, what if 20 people came into your living room to listen to you talk? You would be overjoyed.
Yeah.
You know? So now when I say things like, well, I've only got 500 downloads, I am like, oh no, if I have 500 people in an audience listening to me, I would be thrilled. So I don't know what got me on that tangent, but anyway, so I'm just gonna, you know, I'm going to do the things that bring me joy now, not necessarily financial success, although money is good. I got to pay the rent.
Yep.
But I believe, you know, find your joy and commit to that, your dreams. Yeah.
And I think that's what being intentional is mm-hmm. first of all, giving yourself permission to really think about what you want, even if it's huge and you don't think you can attain it. I know one of the things I do with my clients is I set a timer for 10 minutes and I say to them, just write all the things that you would love to come into your life in the next 10, 15 years. And they do. And then the timer goes off at 10 minutes. And then I set it for 5 more. I said, keep going.
Yeah.
Because we've got this little set, right? And then when we push ourselves to go bigger, and that's what I say to them, when I set the timer the second time, I say, go bigger, go bigger.
Yeah.
And then if I think there's more in them, I'll set that timer again, go bigger, you know, cause sometimes their goals are like, well, I want to get a puppy, you know? Okay. That's great. But you can do more. You can dream bigger.
So we usually start with just like the surface stuff when we're doing things like that. When we first do it, it's like the things that we just, you know, come to, like, it's like doing a to-do list, check my email, you know, it's the first thing that pops in our head. So I love that, you know, now do it again, now do it again, now do it again.
And you'll bigger, get to the, go bigger, go bigger,
to the, you know, two or three really big things that you want to do. And, you know, it's all good and well to dream, Michelle. In fact, I love dreaming. It's one of my signature strengths. But we also then have to take action on what dreams we want to accomplish.
So I think one of the things you and I talked about is this, let me just go back to this document for 1 second, this 10-10 activity that I talked about. So I have people sit for 10 minutes and then write 10 dreams and then choose one. So I think when you think about what it is you want to accomplish, pick one of those things and take some action. Now, action doesn't mean you you do what we did. We just say F you to our life and walk away from it. Although I would recommend it for the right person. Like there are some benefits to starting completely over. And you know what? Not to digress too much, but there are a lot of women that I'm meeting, more and more women, Shelley, like you and I, who have just said, enough. I've had enough. I'm putting it all down. I'm packing up my shit and I'm taking a sabbatical. I'm going off on my own for a little while. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
I'll be back.
Yeah.
But just leave me alone and let me go find what it is that I'm looking for, because I don't even know what it is.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, we need to start chipping away at that. So pick one thing and take one little action. And one of my clients wanted to become an entrepreneur. And she had some ideas, but she just kind of was swirling around. And so literally what we did was we made a list of all the things that she would need to do. And all she had to do each day was take one step. So if it was just getting a free website and signing up, that's all she had to do that day. It's that little.
Well, it's also about developing those habits. So when we talk about, you know, moving forward in your life, what are those little daily habits? And they can be really small ones, like, you know, every day, you know, write down, like, and I'll put some handouts in the show notes for you guys on habits and stuff. But first of all, grab the book, Atomic Habits by James Clear. I feel he's the ultimate authority on habits. I'll drop that link down below too. But every day, write down one thing, like you just said, what's one thing I'm going to do today? I'm going to do the free website. Tomorrow, maybe I'll set up an email. The next day, I'm going to do this. The next day, I'm going to do that. And you're going to develop these habits of every day doing one thing. And what you're going to find is one day you're going to wake up like, I'm going to do three things today. And then it's just going to snowball. But it's that consistency of doing one thing every day. And another great resource is the book, The One Thing by the Keller Williams guy. I can't think of his name. It may be Keller Williams. I don't know. It's a really great book, but it talks about, you know, and you've even got it in like in capital letters here on the document, do one capital letters thing every day. So if you've got this big dream, so, you know, like you've got this big dream of being on Oprah, what is one thing you could do every day that's going to roll up into that big dream? And start creating those habits to get you where you want to go.
So this reminds me, when I met my partner, Ann.
You're making a lot of like creaking noise.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And my producers are going to be like, what is that noise? So anyway, I don't care.
It's my desk.
Your desk earlier.
It's my desk. I'm a passionate person.
I love it.
So, oh my gosh, no, I lost where I was.
I was
talking about, so one of the little things around taking action that really helped me was, and it's when I say it, it's going to sound ridiculous, but is a gratitude practice. Now I read about them all the time. I hear about them all the time. But when I met Ann is my partner and my wife. And when I first met her, one of the things I was so amazed at was her level of gratitude. Now, at the time, this is so sad, but I didn't think about being grateful. That's just where I was in my life. I just wasn't in a place where I was feeling very grateful. And then she would say, well, let's just start sharing something we're grateful for over dinner. And I was like, all right, if that's what you want to do. And now I write my gratitudes every day. And I couldn't sleep if I didn't do it. Like it's that much. But what that does, I mean, there's science around how having a gratitude practice really helps you. Yep. I mean, it changes your brain physiologically in a good way. But that allows me to also reflect on the action I took, which actually exponentially makes it more powerful. So if you take an action, a little tiny one, like setting up a website or setting up your email or, you know, emailing someone that you want to connect with, and then reflect on it and think about how grateful you are for having done, you're going to get that much more traction that much faster.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I used to, you know, I was exactly like you, someone would talk about gratitude, I'd be like, oh, that's bullshit. You know, practicing gratitude, that's total bullshit. But I, you know, we were in a place where our life where we just, well, I'm speaking for myself here, where I just focused on the negative in my life. And I will say, you know, when I start being grateful for things, yeah, it just changes, like it literally changes your neural pathways from a negative to a positive, like from a fixed mindset where I can't do anything and everything sucks to a growth mindset where I'm going to be on Oprah one day, you know? So yeah, practicing gratitude is, I cannot say enough about that either. Now, I don't write things down, but I do every night. And I think it's also important as to why are you grateful so that you're not getting into this road. I'm grateful for my house. I'm grateful for the weather or whatever, but why?
Yes. Yes.
Why are you grateful for that?
I do this thing. I just did this the other night in a group coaching session I was doing. I call it five whys. And my clients freak when I do this. So when we were doing a gratitude practice, I said, well, tell me what you're grateful for. And she told me, and I said, one of the clients told me, and I said, okay, why? And she said, and I said, why? And now she's getting frustrated. I said, just play with me. Just keep going. Yeah. And so it's called five whys for a reason, because what it does is when you're doing that surface gratitude, it pushes you down into, you know, what you're just saying, instead of just being grateful for your family and your house and whatever. It really gets you to focus on to a more granular level, and you get to the things that are really meaningful. You know, why are you grateful for your house and your family and all those things? So
Well, and for me, it just puts me back into, like we talked about in the last episode, where someone's tone of voice can, you know, set me off for a few moments. I then look at, you know, really what I'm truly grateful for. And every night before I go to bed, I say to myself, this is going to be like, seem silly, but I'm like, I snuggle down on my bed and I'm like, I'm so grateful for my bed. And it's I say that, but it's a larger picture. Like I'm not, my bed to me is security and safety. And I've never felt more secure and safe in my entire life than I do at this moment. So when I snuggle down in my bed, when I'm saying I'm grateful for my bed, it's like this larger thing. But so it's truly, I take it from two, like, ex, you know, like people that were like, gratitude, that's dumb, to like, we've done a complete 180 now. Like, it's the best thing
absolutely
ever.
Absolutely. And you know what, that's something that everybody can do. It's, and you can start today. You don't have to go out and buy a book. You don't have to do anything special. You have everything you need in order to take action, especially in gratitude. And that's the other thing. I just saying that just reminds me, you know, this is something I say to you all the time. And if we talk about it, that we have everything we need to accomplish the things that we want to accomplish. We already have them. We don't see them.
Yeah.
So we think they're not there because we've never called upon ourselves to do something like that. You know, I've never really called upon myself to aspire to be on Oprah. Like, what would it take? Or any of the other things I have on that list. And I'm sure the same is true for you. You know, it's like, I totally lost my train of thought. What were we talking?
Train left without you. I don't know what you're talking about.
The train, the subway, the plane, all of it just totally left my mouth.
I hate that one. I'll do that. Like back when I did public speaking, I would do that in a group of people and I would just stand there and I'd be like,
oh my gosh.
Train left without me. I don't know. We were talking about, I even forgot what we're talking about.
So. I know, that's what happens. Like, you lose your flow.
Well, what happens with me is my thoughts, my brain, my mouth can't keep up with my thoughts. So I'm trying, like, you're thinking things ahead. And so that's what happens to me all the time. So anyway, okay. So let's talk about all the things that we've talked about in our series.
Oh my gosh.
Getting your shit together. Just like,
so we
talked about self-awareness, like being honest with where you are in your life. And that was the first one we did. The second one was honoring your past.
Yeah.
Which was, well, no, actually the first one was, I back up. Sorry. The first one was, how do you know you need to get your shit together? Are these things happening in your life? Are you mired down in drama? You know, hold on a second. Are you putting others first? Are you surrounded by drama, chaos, and gossip? Are you feeling like everything is happening to you? And do you have difficulty overcoming your past? So yeah. That was the first one we did. So, you know, think about those things. We'll drop those talking points down in the show notes and let us know. The second one was being honest with yourself. You can only improve if you acknowledge it. You know, who are you right now? Not who do you think you should be or who others think you are, but who are you, like, deep down in your core self? You're beyond a mom, you're beyond an employee, you're beyond a spouse or a partner, you're beyond those things. Who are you? Who are you really? And then honor your past and how did the past contribute to who you are today? One of the great things we talked about in this last episode is looking at the positive, the fun things, the positive things in your past too, to help, you know, offset some of those negatives. And even within the negatives, we talked about some of the things that we do today that are actually good things that came from. Yeah. And there was a great example of, you know, I did it anyway. Okay. So I'm going to edit that out. Yeah. So, you know, reflect on a positive thing that happened. And also we talked about if you have suffered any sort of trauma, abuse, find yourself a really good trauma-informed counselor.
Yes.
And then this last one, we talked about dreaming big, dream big. And then also, but take action on your dreaming. That's
absolutely.
That's so,
and you know, I want to say something. We listed off some criteria in the beginning of how you know you need to get your shit together. Yeah. I would argue that if you have lungs and you're walking around on the planet, you probably could benefit from all those things that we talked about, because
that's true.
We're all positioned in a place where we can make our life better than it is today by doing some of those things.
Yeah.
Or all of them.
Yeah. I agree. Okay, friends. So any parting words before we end this fabulous series that we're going to have to get together like once a week and just talk.
I know. Well, I'm sure we can think of some other things to talk about.
I'm sure we could.
But I just want to thank you, because I love your group. I love the work that you do. You're an inspiration. You bring inspiring people. I've loved being a part of a collaboration with you and the things we're doing. So I'm just thrilled for your success. Grateful that you're on full time now and you can put your non-for-profit hat in your not-for-profit crown in the closet. And ditto, I'm just grateful to be on this journey with you. It's fantastic.
Ditto, my friend. Ditto. So awesome. Yes, I feel the same way.
Yeah. Thank you.
So we do have some, I will talk about this when we stop recording, but I do have lots of plans for you.
So. Oh, you do?
I do. Okay. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening to our series. We really, really appreciate it. And I'll drop an email down below and we'd love your thoughts. Let us know what you're doing in your life. We would love that. So thank you.